I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, and I greet you amidst a chance. Whenever we get the chance, we break the bread of life with one another. We encourage each other in Christ Jesus. We encourage each other in the journey. We encourage each other in what it is that God has for us to do while we're here in the earth, how now we live, how now we, in Him we live and move and have our being. So what does that, how does that manifest? You know, we've all had to go through our unlearning of the programming that we are indoctrinated into once we come into this life, you know. And a lot of people, just because they didn't know any better or they were conditioned a particular way, you know, whatever background you come from, that's the one you think's right. I had a buddy one time who was from England, and he was a scholar, and we were talking about some things one time. He just said, you know, historically, whatever background people come from, they think that's the right one. So if you grew up in America, you think that's the way things are. You think that's the way to do everything. If you grew up in the Middle East, then you think that's the way that things are, and that's the way things should be. If you grew up in Asia, or if you grew up in different parts, whatever it is, whatever your background is, that's the way that you think things are and should be. So we have that culture, that heritage, that background, that programming in a particular way. Now, when you step into the realm of what God has for you, and you start following His direction, you also start coming up against certain things that will conflict with the way that you've been taught, and the way that you grew up, and the way that that is going to be, you're going to start having to make some decisions, and it's going to go possibly contrary to everything that you've ever been told. Now, are you willing to follow Christ amidst that when He reveals and speaks and shows something to you that's other than what it is that you know? I think by God's design and God's blessing, I was born into a cross-cultural family. I was born growing up between different countries. So I constantly had this clash between two extremely different contexts, two extremely different ways that people related to one another, two extremely different nations as far as priorities went, as far as just a lot of different things. And it resulted in, you know, as time went on and as you get a little bit older, having to make certain decisions and choices about, you know, what certain things are going to be important to you. Because, you know, in one place, when, I'll give you a simple example. So in a place like Sri Lanka, it's very important for people over here to be fair. Fair as in light-skinned. When people, because, and that kind of goes back to even more agrarian times, where, you know, if people were darker-skinned, it meant that they had to be out and farming and doing all those kind of things. And people that were lighter skinned, it meant that they were able to be indoors. And that probably was more of a sign of prosperity and means. So you've got that contrast in a country like Sri Lanka. And then you switch it to a country like America, where everybody wants to get out and get a tan. And right now it's the middle of winter and everybody feels pasty, and because they're all stuck indoors and they would love to get some sun. And people, in fact, fly to places just to go sit in the sun, just to get, or they go to tanning beds. My gosh. So when you have a contrast between one place that's trying to stay fair and another place that's trying to get some sun, as we would put it in the States, somewhere along the way, because you can't do both, you start saying, well, okay, well, how do you now want to relate? And, I mean, for anybody that knows me, I love the beach, I love the sun, I love being outdoors, and I just enjoy that aspect of just being in God's creation. So, if I happen to get darker, I don't mind. But when I come back here in this country, in this context, it's interesting because for a lot of people, that's how it's important for them to not be in the sun. And so, you know, it's a conflict somewhat with society, but I'm at peace within myself of kind of how I relate to that one particular small thing. So now here's the thing. Let's translate that forward a little bit. When you step into who God has for you to be, there's going to be things about the way that God would have you to walk through this life, live this life, do things in this life that are going to be contrary sometimes to the way that you grew up. Sometimes they won't, sometimes they will. But ultimately, you want to, like we talked in the last audio, you want to hear the voice of God for yourself, and you want to follow that voice because He's leading you in the path of freedom. He's leading you out of the house of bondage. And if you do not follow the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit, you are going to stay in bondage. There's going to be some things that, hey, doesn't really matter that much. Don't worry about it. When Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel were in Babylon, and they were literally slaves because they had, you know, gone into captivity, but even in that context, in their spirits, they were free. And in their spirits, they were not held. And so when it came down to it, that's one reason why Nebuchadnezzar lost it, was because these guys wouldn't bow down to the statue that he had set up. They knew the limitations. So for them, they said, okay, here's certain things that we're in this place and in this system and we're stuck here. But as far as in us is able, we are going to seek to honor the Lord with our bodies, with our minds, with what we do, and we're going to seek to be true to God however it's possible in the context of where we're at right now. And God blessed them in that. They weren't making excuses for their context, mind you. God knew their situation, but they were moving forward in what it was that they were in the middle of. And God had reason and purpose for them even being there. Now, God will show you, no matter what the situation is, how you can walk with Him and how you can worship Him even in that place. But He's also going to lead you in a path of freedom and in a miraculous path. So, a lot of times what happens is people want to make excuses for their participation and their indoctrination into their world because their heart is there. You remember when the angels were taking Lot and his wife and two daughters out of the city, out of Sodom, and the wife was, you know, looking back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Well, she's looking back because her heart was in Sodom. Her heart was with all of her stuff. Her heart was with all of it, was back in that place where everything was being destroyed. Her heart was in the world. So store not your treasure up on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up your treasure in heaven, where, you know, where moth and rust don't break in and thieves don't break in and steal, where moth and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. You want that where your heart is, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So she had, even though she was Lot's wife and she knew and she was surrounded by godly principles within that household, and she understood, and yet her heart was still in the world, and she saw it in the crunch, and in the crunch it was to her own destruction. Now, when people are, if you're going to follow Christ, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love God with everything that you are, and out of the overflow of that love, He's going to show you how to relate to other people. So it begins with Him, because He's the source, and then the overflow of that allows you to go through and relate to your day-to-day. It allows you to approach each situation as led by the Spirit of God. And see, this is where, too, when people, oh man, people use that love your neighbor as yourself to try to, again, bring you back into bondage, back into control. And they're like, so, if you love your neighbor, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. And if you love your neighbor, you're going to... Listen, okay. That, you remember the woman that came and asked Jesus to heal her daughter, and Jesus turns around and calls her a dog? Yeah. And he's like, look, you don't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Was that loving? Now, she accepted the analogy, and said, yeah, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. And because, you know, even in that context, and then Jesus loved her. God is love. But how do you relate to that? You know, when Jesus took the whip and cleared the merchants out of the temple, which, you know, the money changers, who were the merchants, you know, buying, selling, trading, that had come into his house, he said, get this out of here. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations. You've made it a den of thieves. The business of religion has no place in, if you are going to have a physical location, the house of God. It is a damnable thing to bring that into the house of God. You don't want it there. But a lot of these guys are merchants, and they sell God, or their version of God, because he's not in it. You can't sell it. But you can't sell that. God will not be merchandised. He is who he is. You've got to know the places to make some separations, and you've got to know the places to keep things clean. It's a temptation. Because it's, you know what? It's a temptation. Why? Because what happens is people have large groups of people that come together, and in those large groups of people that come together, they also trust. The guard is let down. They trust in that situation, and they trust their leadership. But boy, I tell you, you know, it's this very, very slippery slope. You want to be extremely careful with that, because you do not want that to come into the house of God. Listen, you can engage in your things. You can engage in your businesses and your trade and the different things that God has for you to do. But you got to separate that out and don't bring that into his place. You do not sell the word. You don't. You can't do that. But there's too many merchants in the pulpits. We're not selling the truth. So, nope, freely we receive, freely we give. We bless people in that which God has given us to give them. So, but when Jesus did certain things, was he loving? Of course he's loving. But not the way that the world is going to say and the way the world's going to put it. There were times that God had to be very stern and very strong, and that was a lot of times what snapped people out of their complacency, what snapped people out of the illusion that they were in the middle of. God has been so patient with the world that we're in right now. He has given people so much time to get right. He's given them so much time to really get onto his page. And he's given them time to fill up the cup. To fill up the cup. And what have people chosen? You know, how many people have just wanted to be a success in the world and just wanted to put God's stamp on it because that's how they want to relate? They still want to be in the world. They just want God to bless them in the world. And that's what they think is success. They're slaves. And part of their participation in that is the destruction of others. Because the world system basically pays you to help destroy the lives of others, to block out the light. They want to siphon your talents off and then use those talents and those skills and abilities to destroy others. That's why you get some very, very evil people in very high places, complete psychopaths. Now, the light is cracking through in the middle of this entire age shift that we're seeing. We're seeing light and truth coming through and people being exposed for who and what they are. And that is, for a lot of people, that's getting very difficult because they don't want it to be known of who and what they are. They don't want people to know and understand that they are up to what they're up to. They don't want people to be aware of the evil that they're engaged in. And yet it's coming out. And as it's coming out, they're losing their power. They're losing their grip. They're striving more and more to try to crack down and to try to keep things under wraps, but it's not working, because the more that they try to, any more than you can hold water in your hand, it's just going to slip through your fingers. You might stop a little bit here and there, but it's just going to slip through your fingers, because it's just going forward. And that's what we're seeing right now in this time, is more and more light and truth is just streaming forward in different places, different ways. So they're trying disinformation. They're trying to stop sources. They're trying to eliminate people. They're trying to discredit the truth tellers. They're trying to bring out just so much confusion, but it's still coming forward. And people with a heart for truth, they're seeking it out. They're searching it out. They're looking for it. Those that ask and seek and knock, if you ask, you're going to receive. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, the door is going to be open. If you're asking for truth, if you're seeking truth, if you're knocking for, and if you're knocking on the door of truth, you're going to find what you're looking for. But if you don't have a heart for it, if you just want to be something in the world, you're going to stay in bondage. It's important that you understand this, because you don't get this in a pulpit on a Sunday. No, most of those situations, you've got the merchants, and they're buying and selling God. And they're keeping you enslaved. They don't even know they're slaves, or sometimes they do, they just don't talk about it, but they're keeping you enslaved because your slavery is important to support theirs. They just want a little bit better, cushy lifestyle. They just want to have a little bit higher notch up on the ladder. Are they free? You know, I'm blessed to travel a considerable amount in the life that God has me living. And I get to see and meet people from all over the world. And sometimes I get the chance to go back through and meet people again after years. And how many times when I meet people again after it's been years, and they are still in the same place, still stuck, still just, you know, think about it, a weight, because there's a scripture that talks about in Hebrews, it's either 11 or 12, I believe it's 12, the start, it says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us cast aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets, and run the race that God has for us. So, you know, the thing about a weight, if you've ever lifted, you know that a weight, as soon as you put it down, it is going to stay in exactly the same place as you left it until you move it again. So when you've got people that have been riding you, when you've got people that have been sucking off of the life that's in you, that have been draining you, that have been, you've been carrying, and these are these weights, and when you cast aside, when you put aside every weight, when you shed those things, those dead works, those meaningless jobs, those traps, those deceptions, those soul-sucking people, when you cast aside that weight, those dead things, that weight, when you leave it aside, it is going to stay in exactly that same spot, because that's what weights do. I've literally gone back through places after being gone for 9 years and found people sitting in the same desk that they were sitting in 9 years earlier when I left, looking the exact same way as they were when I left them 9 years before. Incredible. I was amazed one time when I saw that. How many people, week in and week out, they just keep going back to that same place, hoping for something in that 20-minute sermon. Just a little something, just to keep them going. Being drip-fed while they're on this sick bed waiting to die in the spirit, if they're not already dead. No, brothers and sisters, you've been called to life. But you're going to have to let the Spirit of God work with you on that and help you to challenge the false thinkings, the false ideas, the false paradigms which you've been conditioned with your entire life. So when that contrast comes, you need to allow for what God's way is to be manifest in you. See, this is also why the spirit of Antichrist, which is in the earth right now operating, works so hard to do everything which is against God. And they feel that they can legislate that which is against God. They feel that they can put in place that which is against God. They feel they can work to twist and turn things to go against that which God has put in place. Now, there's a few things that need to be noted about that. One is, Scripture tells us there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, when you go anti-Christ, you go the way of death. When you go opposite to the things of God, you go to your own destruction. So part of why the world goes through tumultuous times is that as people go away from God and they go anti-Christ, they are putting in place a universal law, just like gravity is there, and if you step off a building, you're going to go down and fall because that law is there and in place. As you go anti-Christ, you are going towards your own death and destruction. Now, you can legislate it, but it's still not going to change the fact that you could, if you legislate and say, okay, gravity is going to go upwards now, so you're going to fall up. Well, you can make the law, but it doesn't change the repercussions. No, let's just legislate it. Let's legislate that everybody falls up now. Nobody's falling down anymore. It's illegal to fall down. You need to fall up. How stupid does that sound? And yet, that's what the worlders are doing right now. They're trying to push laws that are anti-Christ, anti the Word of God, because also in doing that, when you've got evil people that are there, that are part of the satanic system, to steal, to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, and they are working to push forward a Luciferic agenda, what they want to do is they want to also create and push anything that will help corrupt you. Now, again, through either seduction or through oppression, they're going to try to entice you into that system, bringing you back into the house of bondage, back into slavery. Christ Jesus has set you free. And if you walk with Him and you follow the voice of the Spirit of God, you're going to live and walk and be in that freedom. Christ Jesus has set you free. You need to walk that out as the Spirit of God leads you. Now, there's going to be times where the enemy of your soul is going to put in place legislation, just like Nebuchadnezzar did in Daniel chapter 3. And he's going to say, when you hear the sound of these instruments, you better bow down and you better worship that which is an idol, which God said in His very first commandment in Exodus chapter 20, you know, I'm the Lord your God. You're not going to bow. You won't have any other gods before me. You're not gonna worship these things. So they knew the word. They knew the spoken word of God that would lead to life. And they said, you know what? And when the king said, who could deliver you from my hand? They said, you know what, king? God can surely deliver us from your hand. And even if He doesn't, just know that we are not going to ever bow down to the thing that you've set up. They knew the path of life amidst their circumstances, and they moved in that. Now, are you going to move in that, or are you going to comply with the way the world does things in the misteaching of things like Romans 13, because Romans 13 needs to be tempered with Daniel chapter 3. You better know Daniel chapter 3 if you're going to know how to relate to Romans 13. Basically, as much as possible, we try to work with and comply with that which is going with the civil authority that's there, provided that they do not violate the ultimate law and truth of God. And there's going to be some areas where you know, because sometimes people have wanted to form, at least in the past, civil societies that are functional. You've got to base it off of the truth of what God has said. You've got to base it off of the law of what God said, because the things that God has put in place, they actually work. The things the world has put in place don't work. They lead to death and destruction and total mayhem. And there's only so many times these guys want to reset the bar before they say, okay, we need something that's actually going to last, so let's try this. But as people succeed and as they move forward, eventually they come to this place where they're like, oh, well, now we don't need God. No, you need, he's the vine, you're the branches. If you don't stay in him, if you don't remain in him, you're going to be like a branch that's broken off, withers and dies, and just all there's left to be done is to be burned. So you've got to go his way. But if the society turns its back on God, doesn't matter. You, my brother, you, my sister, you still walk with God for yourself. You still stay true to that which God has put before you for yourself. It's a blessing if society as a whole walks with God, because then they receive a blessing as a society. But if they don't, you still move in the blessing within your own life as an individual with your family. You can do that. You can do that. You can know that. That's part of your blessing and your inheritance as a child of the living God, no matter what your external circumstance is. But you need to also understand that sometimes you're going to have to be vigilant with this. You're going to have to know this. And even when people come with flashy arguments and logic, you're going to have to know the voice of God for yourself, because they lie in wait to deceive. When Jesus was asked about the end times, the first thing he said was, don't be deceived. There's a lot of people out there trying to deceive you right now. Listen, with everything that we say here, we have told you guys, we've even written it up, saying, look, we won't do everything perfect here. Absolutely we won't. So eat the meat, spit out the bones, test things, bring them before God. And, you know, you are not following us. We're just there to encourage you off and on, here and there along the way, as God gives us something. You're not following us. You don't follow the voice of a man. You follow God for yourself. God just occasionally nudges us and speaks through us just to encourage you that you are, in fact, on the right path, going the right way. But you need to know his voice for yourself. Because as the world seeks to go more and more anti-Christ, more and more legislating against God, putting things forward against God, trying to force even God's hand in part of this whole thing to for certain levels of destruction, which is, again, their own stupidity, their own arrogance, you would think they would have learned after the crucifixion, but they didn't. They were trying to push through certain things at the crucifixion, at the cross, and in the end, it backfired. And the cross, which was what they thought would be their glorious moment, was actually in the cross was the seeds for their own destruction. And the veil of the temple was rent in two, and the way had been made through Christ Jesus for all to have life. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for the sins of the whole world. And they can never stitch that back up. So they try to bring people back into bondage. They've been scrambling ever since. Now they think they're going to push something else through, but God's got another plan. God's got another plan. See, that's the other thing too. You got to always remember, God's got his own plan going on. And as much as they want to try to monitor and control and do the rest of that, listen, there's times where God won't even reveal things until it's the absolute moment that he wants it to be, because you're just led by the Spirit. You're just doing what he wants you to do. So they think that in all of their monitoring and surveillance and the rest of it, that they can figure out. No, you're not going to know. You're only going to know what God wants you to know. Because his children are led by the Spirit of God, and they are quick to respond. And there's going to be times where... there's going to be times... okay, I've had this happen to me, where you know, I've been somewhere and God will tell me, all right, now I want you to go to this other place. And I've gone to another place, and in that other place, I have met somebody that God sent to that other place too. And there's always been some sort of purpose or some reason. It's an incredible thing. Boom, done. Was that coordinated? Did we set up a meeting in the natural? Did we email? Did we Facebook message each other? No, nothing like that. Spirit of God leading and guiding us. No words even spoken. And you will never get past the encryption of the Holy Spirit. If you are not connected to life and truth, you'll never know the life and truth. You'll never know the voice of the Spirit of God. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? Oh gosh, I can't remember the scripture. I know it's one of the it's one of the four Gospels. It's either chapter 5 or chapter 7 of one of the four Gospels. Now I feel like I want to check this one. Alright. But he said to the Pharisees, you've never heard the voice of God. Never once had they heard the voice of God. They never heard it. They knew the word. They knew the scriptures. They could recite stuff line and verse. But they never once heard the voice of God. There are those in the world that have never ever heard the voice of the Spirit of the living God. And that voice and His Spirit and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, that is life. That is breath. That is what you need. Without that, you're missing. You don't have what you need to go through and to go through what's going on in the earth right now. So, cultivating the voice of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. Cultivating the voice of the Spirit of God is absolutely key, and that comes on His terms. But without it, you're not going to be able to make it through. Because you're going to need to be able to hear what He says to the church. You're going to need to be able to hear His voice for yourself. If you can't hear His voice for yourself, you're going to get sunk, because you're going to be going in a way that seems right to you. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Small things, subtle things, are going to make a massive difference amidst all that goes on in the world right now. As a child of God, you have everything you need if you have the voice and the leading of the Spirit of God. And when He tells you something, do it. When He gives you an instruction, go with it. Because He is leading you in the path, and you are on an incredible adventure. Don't trust in man, trust in God. Don't look to man, look to God. You've been given access to the very throne of God. Boldly come before the throne of grace. Whatever it is that's on your heart this day, bring it before the Father, and He's there with you. With that, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Love to hear from you guys. Talk to you soon. All right.